It's time again to celebrate life's second acts. Welcome to Reset. 40 is the new happy. I'm Mike Morin. Kelly Murphy did her time in corporate America. Eventually, she yielded to that voice encouraging her to follow her dreams and work as a certified interior decorator with her own business. So she set up shop in Brookline with Decor and You, using her gifts of inspiration and sophistication to help clients transform their homes into personal spaces that make them happy and reflect who they are. All right, so Kelly, let's wind the tape back a little bit and start with your life earlier in corporate America. What did you do?
Yeah, well, I spent, a good 25 years probably in corporate direct marketing specifically. A lot of good companies, but, you know, I got a victim of that layoffs in 2009 and 2010. And that second round, I took a little bit harder and it just made me rethink, you know, what I was doing with my career and what I really wanted to do.
So are you saying that hadn't that occurred the way it did, if you were still working, maybe you wouldn't be doing the Decor and You at this point?
Unlikely that I would be doing the Decor and You, because it was a circumstance that led me to rethink. Otherwise, I was just going to plug along in the stress of corporate, which was not healthy, I'll have to say that.
So I guess you'd say it's a blessing in disguise.
Yes, because I'll be the first to admit that although I'm not making as much money as I did, you know, when I was working in corporate, I'm a healthier person. It's a lot less stressful. I'm happier. I have a better lifestyle. There's something to be said for that.
All right, so now you can look back and say this. What is it about working in corporate America that doesn't really fulfill the soul, if I can put it that philosophically?
Ooh, okay, you can put it that way. It was just you're driven by everybody else and driven by deadlines and driven by people that aren't necessarily your type. And it's just very, very stressful, very demanding. And I was a workaholic. And so it just fed into, the stress that I was feeling in that world.
So the inspiration to take that leap was losing your job. And for some very practical reasons, you bought into a franchise rather than to start from square one. And I think a lot of people would ignore that intelligent move and just blow right into it. But you decided to take it this way.
Yeah, I did, because it provided the structure, the foundation. There's a brand, there's marketing, there's people, the vendors were already vetted. And that allowed me a faster learning curve to take on something that I was going to just literally start from scratch. So there is something to be said for that model. And I had people encouraging me and, you know, informing on what the advantages of that were.
Kelly, how did you retool your thinking from corporate ways to dealing one-on-one?
Oh, dear. That was probably one of the hardest struggles I had in my first year. And when you grow up in corporate, you know, you're driven by deadlines and people and meetings and deliverables and all this. And that's what I grew up on. That's what I was. That's how I was made. And to break all that down, to build rapport one-on-one with, you know, individual clients, to do networking, to do a lot of listening, that was very, very different. And the whole salesmanship. I didn't consider myself a salesman. And you don't really want to appear as a salesman, but so I had to get sales training, you know, for all that, because it was a struggle. And it was hard to break down those habits.
You're such an outgoing and gregarious person. What was so hard about being a salesperson?
It's funny, because all those times, years in corporate, people would tell me, oh, you'd make a great salesperson. And I said, no way. There's two things I'm never going to be, a salesperson or a nurse. And so, yes, on the outside, it appears natural, but I didn't do well with the word no. And so I feared rejection. Mm-hmm. I feared people not liking me. I feared a lot of things. I mean, it's all, you know, driven, goes back, you know, to childhood and such. But that was the driving factor, is I was afraid. And this whole thing was, I felt I was like jumping off a cliff to go and do this. And I was analysis paralysis freak. I did the pros and cons and the whole shebang. But it took courage. And that's finally what I came up with.
Well, I'm glad I said yes when you reached out to me. I might have devastated you.
I've gotten used to it. Again, that's one of those learnings. Mm-hmm. I have learned not to take things so personally, that it's not me. It could be them, that, you know, it takes a lot of no's to get to a yes. But that was a mindset that I had to adapt to.
One of the first lessons was that you have to be proactive to get customers. You thought they would just find you, but you have to find them.
Yes, I was under the philosophy that I build it and it will come, right? Well, it doesn't. Yes, you can build it, but it'll come later. And so I just thought, oh, I go out there, I'm a marketer, came out of the gate running, did all these right things, right? Know how to do my marketing. And I just thought they would come. And once I accepted they'll come, just not sooner, but later, life got a little bit better, you know, for me. And just, you know, trusting that all I need to do is plug along. I was doing the right things, keep going, and it will come. And that's kind of what building a business is all about.
How does networking figure into the overall scheme of getting the word out?
Well, it's very valuable because, you know, mine is not a business that's just a one-on-one. It's obviously not cheap. It's not emergency driven, you know, and so building a convincing and word of mouth and building that credibility, having resources to back me up, it goes a long way. And so I put a great deal of time into networking in many different ways.
I think you said to me earlier that this is a healthier lifestyle. I mean, how much healthier, how much better do you feel instead of getting up every day, jumping into that rat race?
Again, I've had to learn to adapt to that. That first year was stressful for, you know, different reasons of building and not knowing what I was doing and earning an income. But now that I'm into it and much more accepting, you know, I sleep in if I don't have an appointment first thing in the morning, if I want, but otherwise I'm driven by a project. I work out in the middle of the day on the way back from a client appointment if that's what suits me most. Networking is kind of socializing too, so it's healthy from a relation perspective. And I just have, you know, more time to spend with my husband at night, and we have a puppy and she's my child, and, you know, we spend our days together. So it's in a lot of ways, and there, like I said, there's a lot to be said for it.
And there's a fair amount of discipline required to make sure you do something every day that's productive. Yeah. Now, you mentioned having a puppy, which I work from home as well. My dog wants to play fetch all day. How do you get around that?
Well, right now she's upstairs in a bedroom sleeping because I wouldn't let her down here for this. But it is a challenge. She wants me to do things on her schedule, but I can't. But I do. I mean, I am disciplined. That's how I grew up. That's all I know. I'll be honest. I have never, ever, ever watched TV during the day. When I am working and I, you know, I have meetings, I am productive when I go out. You know, I try to arrange 3 meetings at once if I know I'm going out. You have to. And I'm work, sometimes a little too late for my husband. I'm down here and I can't let go of a project, but I make it happen.
So in your business of decorating and interior decorating, how does your brain reconcile the calculating and the whimsical components of interior design?
Yeah. Ooh, good question. Because as I often say, and I you know, coach my clients on, that decorating is not just an art. It is a science too. There are guidelines, some rules, if you will. And luckily, I think I'm a gifted soul in that I am equally balanced in the quantitative as well as the qualitative. So from a business perspective, not only, you know, can I analyze my P&L and do my own accounting and calculate my own cost margins and, you know, stuff like that, but when it comes to decorating, you know, I get proportion. I see traffic patterns. I see the logic and the practicality and the problem solving of client challenges. And then I am able to interpret what they want and bring it to them in style and color and, as I say, the jewelry of the room and the accessories. So it is a balance, but it's function first, practicality second, and aesthetics third is how I approach it.
You seem really good at this. Do you wish you'd done it 20 years ago? Do you wish you'd been fired 20 years ago?
Yes, but I'll say this much. I needed that corporate to build the nest egg to be able to afford, you know, to get into this and be able to take the risk. So there's something to be said for that. And at least in that marketing world, I was in the marketing side that leveraged the creative and the quantitative, which is why I was in direct marketing. But this is a whole new, you know, way about that. And the individualism of really designing, which is really my heart and soul, you know, that's what I enjoy. And it's so rewarding. I mean, if you could see all the befores and afters of what I do, I mean, it's just that wow statement that, oh my gosh, what a difference. And it truly is a transformation of what I do because it's just remarkable.
Kelly, what's harder to handle, a demanding corporate boss or a fickle customer in your decorating world?
The corporate situations were harder. There were a lot of personalities, a lot of people involved, a lot of, you know, situations. Yes, I do have my challenging clients, but I have patience. I work through it. I have a problem. I solve it. I do it all. Nobody's going to get pissed off at me because I'm going to make anything right. And I've learned to balance and to listen. Sometimes it takes mediation when, you know, the husband and the wife don't agree. So I've got those skills going for me, a little counseling along the way. I accept the customer is right. And I make things happen and solve problems if that's what happens.
Well, a little Dr. Phil meets the interior decorator, huh?
You got it. And anybody in the services trades will probably tell you that, but we do deal with that, you know?
Finally, give a few words of encouragement to aspiring new startup business owners like yourself.
Yeah, if you've got the passion, you know, do something with it and plug on. I think the biggest learning for me is to not to give up too quickly, not to give up on the marketing efforts, on the networking efforts, on the vision, on some, you know, failures. You learn from your failures, you learn from your mistakes, but it all will come back to you later. And that just trust that it will come together. But you have to work at it. It doesn't come for free. You got to put it in, but it will pay off.
Kelly, thank you. And if you are somebody who's got a business that began in some other aspect of the business world, as it was corporate America for Kelly, reach out to me, as Kelly did, at MikeMorinMedia.com. Kelly, thank you for sharing your journey with me.
You're very welcome. And it is a journey, and we all need to share with each other so we can learn from each other.